This is News Radio 105.9 WBBM's All Local. Listen and subscribe for Chicago's most up-to-date news each weekday morning and afternoon. Now from the WBBM newsroom, these are the most important news stories from the Chicago area.
Supporters of the controversial ShotSpotter system in the city say they're not backing down from their fight to save the technology here in Chicago, despite Mayor Johnson's determination to kill it. WBBM political editor Craig Delamore has the latest from City Hall.
17th Ward Alderman David Moore asks rhetorically how Mayor Johnson can insist on ending the contract for the ShotSpotter gunshot detection system despite evidence of its usefulness.
To say that the 91 lives that were saved between January 21st, 2023 and July 31st, 2024 via alerts from ShotSpotter, no 911 calls, that this is just a walkie-talkie on stick, is dangerous.
And Chicago Street Pastor Donovan Price pushed back on the mayor's statements that ShotSpotter was billed as crime prevention, something its backers deny.
It hurts me personally when I hear stuff like ShotSpotter was supposed to stop gun violence or lower gun violence. No, we got a mayor to do that.
At City Hall, Craig Delamore, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
Other developments today included settling several police misconduct lawsuits on the council's to-do list, is a vote on a new zoning committee chair as well. A man robbed at gunpoint last night as he was getting into his car outside Bally's Casino in River North. Second Ward Alderman Brian Hopkins says the victim was a customer at the casino. The victim told police that a white sedan pulled up behind him on Ohio Street. A man got out of the car with a gun and took his money. Then the robber drove away. There were no injuries. The Chicago Board of Ed voted unanimously today to approve the district's new five-year strategic plan. CPS CEO Pedro Martinez says the plan, called Success 2029, Together We Rise, aims to even out the Chicago educational playing field.
We're setting a new baseline for staffing, a foundational level, and resources that every school will get regardless of size or location. More reliance on our district opportunity index to ensure a greater share of our resources are reaching students and communities furthest from opportunity.
Goals include expanding access to academic acceleration for students in predominantly Black and lower income neighborhoods on the South and West sides. CPS will also stop ranking schools and try to get more students to attend schools in their own neighborhoods. Well, the arrests of a teen and two 12-year-olds this week in connection with school threats in Joliet, the police chief there now urging parents to help as well.
Addressing the city council Tuesday evening, Chief Bill Evans tried to calm concerns surrounding recent threats against Joliet schools made on social media.
The threats were not actionable, and no information exists that the person or persons that posted these messages had the means or the ability to carry out these threats.
He also shared that his officers arrested two girls ages 12 and 14 on Monday in connection with those threats.
Both were charged with felony disorderly conduct and returned to their respective parents.
Evans added that another 12-year-old was arrested Tuesday following additional threats posted on social media.
Obviously, the Joliet Police Department takes these threats very seriously, and I would like to take this opportunity to strongly recommend that the parents have a serious discussion with their children to reinforce just how dangerous this type of hoax can be.
My Martinez, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
The Indiana Natural Resources Commission has come up with some rules for a controversial bobcat hunting and trapping season next year. This is 20 years after the animals were removed from the state's endangered species list.
The DNR believes the bobcat population has rebounded to the point where it can sustain what it calls a regulated harvest. Samantha Chapman with the state's chapter of the Humane Society told CBS 4 in Indianapolis there really needs to be a population study.
To better understand where bobcats are in our state, what their numbers actually are, instead of passing a bill that relies solely on anecdotal evidence.
The DNR has the authority to allow a bobcat season. Several years ago, one was called off over backlash. A sponsor of the legislation, Republican State Senator Scott Baldwin, said the department needed a nudge. The preliminary rules call for a limit statewide of 250 bobcats, and they could only be taken in 40 southern counties. Mike Krauser, News Radio, 105.9 WB.
Months after a 17-year-old girl was struck and killed by a train in Barrington, her family is taking legal action.
Corinne Laxon was tragically killed on January 25th of this year when she was attempting to cross the Hofstra Railroad crossing in Barrington.
Attorney Jim Poulos is with Clifford Law Offices, which is representing Loxon's family, now suing the Union Pacific Railroad Company, Metra, and Village of Barrington.
There were no pedestrian gates or other pedestrian safety measures at that particular railroad crossing that would alert someone like Marin that there were simultaneous approaching and departing railroad trains that were operating on that railroad line.
Because of that, Poulos calls Loxon's death completely preventable.
The family certainly understands that there's nothing that's going to bring their daughter back, but they do hope that by improving the safety and protecting others from something like this ever happening, that Marin's death wouldn't be in vain.
Andy Day, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
WBBM has reached out to those named in the lawsuit for comment. Chicagoans who live near the Obama Center gathered at City Hall today to call for passage of a housing preservation ordinance.
Rents are going up, the lease is not being renewed, so we want to make sure that we have the same respect as everybody in other communities.
The Obama Community Benefits Agreement Coalition organizes for anti-displacement policies in neighborhoods surrounding the Obama Center. They're now fighting for the passage of a South Shore housing preservation ordinance. It would, among other things, ensure equitable development and slow displacement, as well as increase supply of affordable housing. Patricia Hightower is with the coalition.
I live in an affordable senior complex, but there's a lot, and we're going to be right across the street from the center, but a lot of people, not only in my building, but in the neighborhood, feel that they might be displaced because a lot of the people have been moved out because of poverty.
The Obama Center is expected to open in 2026. Haley Hansen, News Radio 105.9 WBB.
And from the AppleChevy.com sports desk, here's 670. The score is Mark Grody.
Hello, Lisa. Out here at Halas Hall trying to pick up the pieces are the Chicago Bears in their first full practice since the loss on Sunday night to Houston. You got to say the pressure got to the Bears this past Sunday night against those Texans, with Caleb Williams getting sacked 7 times in the loss as the team works quickly on a solution ahead of this Sunday's game at the Colts.
One, communication. Two, is making just faster adjustments throughout the game, having better communication between myself, coaches, and offensive line and things like that, making sure we're on the same page and making the adjustments we need to, you know, in game. Obviously, you have adjustments and things like that that you practice throughout the week, but, you know, the other team's job is to try and confuse you, throw different things at you, different looks, and so being able to adjust quickly in game, I think, is the most important thing.
For sure, a lot of guys echo the same sentiment and just guys doing their assignments as well as the Bears try to figure things out. One bad thing as far as the offensive line is concerned and trying to get it back together, Tevin Jenkins, their starting left guard, has a deep thigh bruise. He did not practice today, nor did Keenan Allen. I'll have more on the Bears and the injury report throughout the afternoon. Baseball happening right now for both of our teams. Day baseball. The Cubs lead the A's 3-2 in the top of the seventh. White Sox and Angels no score in the bottom of the first. With sports at 16-46, I'm 670. The score is Mark Grody on News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
The union that represents some of the workers who write parking tickets in Chicago claims the city is making a costly mistake by trying to cut their pay.
John Coley is the secretary treasurer of Teamsters Local 727. He says when Lori Lightfoot was mayor, the pay for parking enforcement regulation officers was boosted by $2.50 an hour to reduce turnover and increase enforcement. Coley says Mayor Brandon Johnson wants to reverse that.
The Johnson administration has given notice that they're going to end the incentive as of October 1st. They're not going to rebid it. They're going to extend the contract and take away the incentive.
Coley says the pay cut would encourage more workers to look for other jobs. He claims while the pay cut would save the city about $250,000 a year, the amount of fines collected could drop by millions because fewer tickets would be written. Jim Goodis, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
All Local is a production of News Radio 105.9 WBBM, Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station. Please like and subscribe to this podcast on the Odyssey app to continue receiving up-to-date news and information.